Sacramento.
Glory, glory, Sacramento. Glory, glory, Sacramento. The Republic marches on.
Roro with the goal.
Roro's going to take a shot. Oh, my, do you believe it?
Cameron Nwassa charging forward, looking for a team to strike on distance, and it rattles in! Cameron Nwassa, the Sacramento King!
That it was less about if and more about when Sacramento was going to join Major League Soccer. Well, folks, when is today? Your when has arrived.
Hello, Sacramento, and welcome to the Rise of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Blake Marquez, joined as always by Richard Ivanowski. And what a game. How are you feeling about it, Rich?
What a game. What a game. I feel fantastic about it. I was lucky enough to be in person for this one. My first game as a credentialed member of the media for the Republic. I'm working on a feature story for the Sacramento Bee on them, and my hope is that we're both gonna become credentialed members of the media and stick around and go to as many games as possible to cover them for this podcast itself. Because yeah, man, this team is lovely. Really a fantastic group of people. I'd say that just getting to know the people around the team, but also, I mean, if they're gonna play like this, man, I want to be there every night.
Oh yeah, no, that totally makes sense. So you went there for the B for your story that you're working on, and yeah, like you said, we're kind of hoping on one day trying to get some credentials for, if not you, for myself as well. And that would help so much with us being able to kind of break a little news faster. Like, I remember we were just excited about getting some actual quotes from after the game, which we might dive into a little bit here. But overall, I mean, let's talk about the lineup. Let's talk about a little bit of what you saw. Were you surprised when you saw this this lineup?
You know, a little bit. I think one thing that you and I, and even when we going back to the conversation with GT Battle, I think that we were all kind of in agreement that Formella should probably be just a sub. That he scored a brace against Tacoma, not tonight. Well, yes, tonight, but also a month ago, right?
Yeah.
And those two goals against Tacoma were great, and he like basically got a starting spot as a nine for a while. And I think we were all really frustrated. He really didn't do much for many games in a row, to the point where I think we were in agreement that he's just not the guy for the starting 11. But you know, something else we talked about, something you talked about that I thought was a great point, was that this team really needs one more player on the wing. They need one more player on the wing. And, you know, when we saw the starting 11, it was Formella out on the left wing. And holy crap, man, he looked fantastic out there.
I think it was his best performance, better than the other one when he scored against Tacoma, for sure, in my book. It's crazy how now it's the second week in a row we've seen kind of a formation change, but a position change on some players. I'm referring to Bijev as well, who maybe play a different position, but they're not playing super well, trying them in a different position. And it completely fixes his body language issue that we've been, or this thing that we've been realizing with the body language and performances being kind of dull on their end. And Formella on the wing looked fantastic. It was great. I mean, he was cutting in a lot, but, he was great. And seeing him drop down, I was a little nervous seeing him drop down, but he looked really good as a midfielder. I will tell you that.
Yeah, he looked fine. I mean, he was getting all the way back there. I mean, he was defending just outside of his own box at times. He has that, we've talked about, he has that sort of fire in him. And yeah, I mean, I don't think that he's like the world's most technical defender or whatever, but he's giving you effort, and that's what you need from a guy who's going to drop back.
Yeah, no, it looked really well, really good. Any other performances that you want to get into? Or I mean, I have a little note about organization in our defense. It was it's always billed as a 4-2-3-1, and that's what it is. But on defense, we definitely were sticking to two banks of four. You know, your midfield bank and your defensive line, and it looked like we kind of saw Bijev holding a high line with Cam, which looked – it just looked really well. We weren't pressing the way we normally do, but I thought the line was still really high, and they were having a hard time, especially in that first half, breaking through.
Yeah, the other thing on the – as far as the starting 11 that I would bring up, just because it's a little bit – I wouldn't say out of the norm. Nothing is out of the norm right now for these lineups because – you know, I think Coach Briggs is really trying things out every game. I don't think we've seen – there was one time where he brought out almost the same lineup two games in a row. But the other guy that stands out to me is Belmar.
Yes.
Over Warner, I guess, specifically, that choice specifically. Did you think he played a better game tonight, or is this – is he having the same issues that we've talked about on the last episode?
Better games, same issues, I think it would be my answer. Like, yeah, I think he's having I think he had a better game, but he's still running at defenders face up and not doing anything. He's still, you know, crossing accuracy is still kind of an issue with him. He did fine this game, like did much better. He got an assist, beautiful cross. But yeah, I think better game, but definitely the same issues. Kind of, I mean, if you look at the stats, Sam had a lot of the same stats playing 20 minutes that Belmar did playing 70. So yeah.
Yeah, I want to point this out. So because I was able to be there and there's no fans in the crowd and stands, it's you really can hear what every player is saying at all times. Like that was such a trip, but it was really useful as well. I feel like, and maybe this is me imagining things, or maybe this is maybe this sort of thing happens all the time, and this was just my first game there, so it felt like a bigger deal to me to notice it. But I felt like Belmar was calling for the ball a lot and not getting it. I didn't really see that happen with anybody else. A little bit with Ash. I think he was getting the back line was kind of jawing at Ash a bit. Tomas Hilliard-Arce definitely likes to point out the errors of his teammates, and he definitely was on Ash a few different times. But Belmar would make a lot of aggressive runs and call for the ball and just wouldn't get it. I think a lot it was Skundrich who would, you know, take a look at his run and check down and decide to just, you know, send a more conservative pass somewhere. And Belmar is getting, I think, a little frustrated with that. I think he's an aggressive player, and I think he is probably really wanting to score a goal, probably really wanting to make things happen because he knows he can do it. He knows he's got that pedigree of doing it in the past with other clubs, but he's not done it quite yet with Sacramento. So that was just one thing I noticed. A few times he wanted the ball, and his teammates just, nope, you're going to look the other way here.
I noticed that in the highlights for sure. I think I'm not sure what it was off of at all, but I remember thinking like Belmar's there. Like we just chose a different route, not necessarily a harder route or anything. Like the options were to the left or to the right, and they chose to go to the left. Yeah, I'd like to see that a few more times and kind of be able to make a judgment on what might be going on there. But it may simply be that You know, that we've talked about chemistry before, and the team may not be confident in him. And I, you know, you see that all levels of sports where there's going to be a guy that you screw up a few times, like, hey man, you're not going to get the ball as much anymore, which kind of compounds on itself, unfortunately, because then you have where it's like, now the guy's nervous, well, I got the ball this time, I better do something now. And, or it's like, I'm only going to give you the ball if you're the last resort. And if you're the last resort, that means there's something, it's the pass might come off, not come off right or stuff like that. But I definitely would like to keep an eye on that and see what might be going on there.
Yeah, and I'll just say I definitely felt that. I think the way you put it there was perfectly correct. It just felt like his team wasn't as confident in him as other options. He really didn't touch the ball nearly as much as a lot of the team. So, like, you know, Formella was on the opposite side. He touched the ball way more. And I guess deservedly so, because he did a lot more with it. But Belmar also had probably the best moment of his season with that cross into Formella that led to the goal. And he, you know, mentioned, you brought up his stats, his crossing stats from last game, 0-for-5 as far as successful crosses. Didn't find a teammate on any of his five crosses last game. Mm-hmm. This game, he sent 3 crosses in, and he found a teammate on the other side of every one of those.
Yeah, 3 successful crosses, none unsuccessful. That, you know, that works for me. That it's getting better. Just keep seeing it. You know, he helped produce a goal this time, so maybe some of that confidence will be changing with his teammates. I will just add one other thing, is it seems to me like our left side is more the build-up side. So Ash is going to push up. Formella is going to cut in a little bit. So they'll build up passy through that left side. And the right side may be more or less like, we're going to stick to the flanks. No overlaps, really. Let's bomb some crosses in from that side and see what happens, as opposed, again, to the left, where it's passing around, making triangles, making nice plays through there. So that may be just another issue there. I don't know if Belmar would thrive just switching that side or anything. That's the differences between the two flanks.
Yeah. What about Bijev, who's kind of been up and down this season? How do you think he played tonight? Last night?
I was just, I mean, an amazing assist for Cam's 50th goal. I thought he was a great playmaker, really figuring stuff out, leading the line, like leading that front line really well in the high line. I thought the body language was great. Better performance for me, for sure. It's a step in the right direction for him. I will say, when it came to that goal, though, he had that breakaway. He had a guy nipping at his heels. Goalie was coming out. I thought he was going to shoot it, and I was going to just freak out if he had, because it's like, give your teammate the 50th goal, and it just looked like it was going to get saved. So I was just really happy. He made the right choice there, being unselfish. It was great.
It was great. It was beautiful, honestly. Everyone loved that. Everyone loved that move. And then he turned and he went and grabbed Roro, and then he turned and put up the 5-0 with his hands. That's a nice photo that's been circulating around. Really good. And I think he's strung together a couple really nice games now. He's the Bijev that we wanted to see preseason. This is the guy that I think we were out there saying that this is our favorite player. We were both on the all aboard Bijev. We were really excited for him this season, and it feels like he's kind of arrived.
Yeah, I think you know, keep him at the 10 for now and see how it works out. Especially if we're opting, you know, it was kind of hard because I was so on that central midfield 3 of Villarreal, Skundrich, and Roro, which creates an issue if we're going to play Bijev at the 10, but this worked out great too. Roro dropping down and unfortunately for Mella taking a seat on the bench, but it worked out great with Bijev there. I was kind of thinking as you were saying the whole moment with the 5-0, and it was a great photo op. Obviously, he's not thinking about photo ops in that moment, but definitely had to consider the 50th goal for Cam there. I wonder if he would have shot if it was only 49 for Cam.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I think that's a pro move, and I think he knew that this is an easy not easy for him, but like if I get this ball to Cam, it's an easy goal. So.
Was Cam yelling for that, or did Cam kind of just know he has to know I'm here, or do you remember that at all?
To my recollection, no, he had no he wasn't yelling. I think Bijev knew he was coming. I think he's got that type of awareness. Cam was just on a full out run. Cam was incredible in this game as well. He was doing things that I've never seen Cam do personally. I'm sure he's done them in past seasons, but being this is the first season that I've watched every game and really paid attention to each player, he's incredible, man. There were a couple times where basically they you could call them counterattacks, but like they weren't even organized counterattacks. They were just clearances that got near Cam, and yeah. Cam just puts a touch on it to kick it, push it way far in front of him. And just uses his speed to create a break out of nothing. Like, there was one in the end of the first, near the end of the first half, and then another one near the end of the second where, yeah, I mean, it's just a kind of a semi-blind clearance, but that you know generally where Cam is, and Cam just uses his physicality to get to the ball, heads something away from his defender, and just sprints on it, and he sent the shot a little bit high and wide, but I mean, he almost turned absolutely nothing into a goal there.
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing performance for him. The goal that Belmar sent in to Fermela, I was afraid Cam was going to jump for it because I didn't think he was going to be able to get enough juice on his jump to make it, but he made that perfect, like, I'm going for it, just kidding, and, like, the defender didn't go for it because he thought that he was going to jump, so he's going to get in front of the header. Cam got out of the way. Fermela was able to bring it down and just finish it. That was my favorite goal of the game for sure.
Yeah, the trickery of Cam, he is so – it's kind of like in basketball, you have shooting gravity. Like, so guys that you know can knock down shots, they are going to pull the defense in different ways. And then it's a big strategy in basketball is, you know, you have shooters that have this high gravity pulling defenders around the court, and then – but you got to figure out how to take advantage of that space they create.
Right.
And that's kind of what Cam can do with these dummies where and we saw another one late in the game where not only is he dangerous when he touches the ball, but he can be dangerous when he chooses not to touch the ball. I tweeted out at the end of the game that last dummy was almost one too many. I just felt like just touch that one and slap it on goal because it ended up going to Fermela, who was just kind of a little bit too far out, I'd say, and that shot was – I would rather have seen Iwasa take that shot, but, I mean, I don't have any complaints.
Yeah, I was pretty bummed about that too. I thought he should have one-timed it. I didn't even think the angle was there for Fermela at the time, like, because Fermela ended up shooting it, if I'm remembering correctly, and it just – the angle wasn't there at that point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this front line figured it out today. Everyone in the front line had a hand in a goal. It was awesome. It was a great performance. Only goal we haven't talked about. Did we talk about the first one?
Let's see here. We talked about Fermela, the cross from Bijev one. That was the dummy one from Cam, right? We talked about the layoff to Iwasa. The first one was really early, right? That was 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was the one Roro sent it up the middle to I think Cameron, who brought it into the box.
Oh, and, sweet Jesus. This was the most beautiful goal of all.
You think so?
Don't you think? This is the one, the buildup where Skundrich chipped it over a defender, and then Roro pushed it ahead to Cam, and then Cam, perfect pass to Formella. Yeah, I mean.
It was a shot. It was a shot that missed and came off the – or not missed, but came off the defender and landed at Formella's feet.
Okay, you know what? I'm conflating that one with the layoff to Cam. But, okay. No, this one was fine. I mean, that's what Formella can do. He's kind of a – I mean, he's a power shooter, would you say?
Formella?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for sure. That's like he's definitely more power than finesse. But, yeah, when the ball's moving left to right and you hit it with power to the – you know, when the goalie's moving to his right and you hit it with power – to the opposite side that he's moving. Yeah, I mean, that's, man. That's a great take on goal. That's a great shot. Love it. All right, so we're back from a quick break. And, Blake, I know you are going to break down the goal conceded to Tacoma for us. You put up a video of it on Twitter, at Blake Spells Bad. I've also retweeted it from the Rise Republic Pod account. So I definitely encourage anyone that did not catch the game live, please check out this video of the goal conceded because it's pretty egregious. But I'll let Blake go ahead and break down exactly what happened.
Really, I mean, this was just the biggest sign of the organization from the first half not being the same in the second half, which pretty much held true through most of the second half. But in this in particular, it was off of a corner. And we saw, you'll see this in the video, we saw seven Sacramento Republic players. Three of them were marking space. Two kind of towards the top of the box. One was waiting for a runner to come in. But there was only four players from Tacoma in the box. And so there was one guy waiting for a runner to come in, two at the top of the box that were just marking space. At one point, I believe it was Formella, was about 5 to 7 yards in front of two Tacoma players. And I didn't see it at the moment, but after watching the video a few times, it was obviously what was going to happen, is two players getting marked by one guy. One runs in towards the middle of the box. The other one runs far post. And the ball comes to the guy far post. Formella, I believe, runs to the middle to mark the wrong guy. And no one picks him up. Really, the biggest thing to me, you had asked me whose fault I thought that was. And I said, I think it's everyone's fault. And I don't know what your reaction was to that. But in my book, it was like, why is there people marking space, or why is there that many people marking space? Literally, the deficit of how many more players we had. We had three extra players in the box. All three were marking space. We had one guy that was marking two people. He wasn't calling for help. No one realized that he was marking two guys, and everyone else just watching TV. So it was pretty terrible, but.
You think it was Formella marking those guys right there?
I believe it was. I'm not sure. It's hard to tell when they're that far away from the camera.
Yeah.
But either way, just the way that everyone was kind of just watching TV, it seemed to me like people, like they had drilled. They know where they're supposed to be for corners. But no one looked and saw the situation was different. You see what I'm saying?
Right. It's weird because, like, we do have Tomas Hilliard-Arce, who likes to sit back there and tell everyone where to be. I'll have to go back and watch this, but at the time, I didn't hear him calling out any orders. Skundrich also – I will just say I was really impressed about how much he was telling people where to be. That's his job as captain and as a midfielder. Like, he's the guy who's steering the offense and steering the defense, really doing both. Often would just be yelling, Sam, go up here, you know, Sam, take, you know, get him, you know, Ash, you need to be back there, all this stuff. But on that particular corner, I didn't hear anybody really talking. It seemed like everyone was trying to figure out where they're supposed to be. And yeah, and these two Tacoma players, they're like bunched up real tight. They're just kind of standing right there side by side. And then there's one Republic player kind of on them both. And when they run in opposite directions, he runs with the guy going near post, and the guy going far post is just absolutely completely untouched, like completely unmarked.
And what's crazy to me is we got people in the center. You don't have to go to the center. We got guys there. When that second guy goes to the middle, we already have a guy waiting there. So, I mean, I don't think he should have been waiting that far in the towards the goal mouth as he was. But, like, yeah, I feel like the situational awareness just was not there. It was like we've been told where we're supposed to be and we're going to stand there, but no one realized that that's not what was happening anymore. And it was really frustrating.
I'm looking at it again, and it looks like that one guy that splits off and runs near post, he basically gets surrounded by four Republic players right there. So, and the other guy's got no one on him.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, it's, we just, everyone screwed up. Everyone screwed up. And I don't know. Did you, one, I want to ask what people around you were kind of feeling in that moment, what the team was saying, but was there any blame going on amongst the team or anything?
No, I didn't see any finger pointing or any anger that anyone in particular dropped the ball. I think you might be onto something in as far as maybe everybody dropped the ball in that moment. And then it also, I don't think there was much time to process it because Tacoma also had like an incredible chance just a minute or two later. If you'll remember,
yeah,
I forget which player it was, but they had a couple real chances, and one was a rocket off the post that absolutely, totally could have been another goal, and it could have been two goals in 2 or 3 minutes there. After that, I remember Tomas and Hayden really starting to talk. They were really were working on their line and staying on the line. You know, Tomas started putting his arms out, you know, fully side by side, and drawing the line and shouting, you know, and Hayden's running up to him, putting his arms out, trying to make that line parallel. I will say that's kind of where they were getting on Ash a little bit. They're like, Ash, you need to be on this line. What are you doing? And he actually didn't even respond at that time. He was just kind of hanging back, probably a good 2 or 3 yards off the line, not really responding to them. But
Was he behind the line or up in front?
Behind.
Really? That's really disappointing to me. I did not notice that. That's pretty disappointing.
They were yelling over to him, get on the line. I don't know if he just didn't hear them or if he didn't care. I don't know. Ash, I think he's a character. I think he may have been frustrated with the two of them because they had been kind of on him earlier in the game. But they had some disagreements and stuff. But, I don't know. I mean, maybe the only thing I can say about that is – and I don't think Ash, like, really blew anything this game necessarily.
No.
But I wouldn't be surprised if when Gomez is fully healthy that he becomes that fourth defender.
That's another thing I tweeted out when I saw the lineup and I saw Gomez on the sub list again. I'm like, man – I want to see Gomez. Like, I just want to see what he does, even for 20 minutes, you know, when stuff starts falling apart, not falling apart, but like we had a 2-goal lead around the 70th, 75th minute. We started really getting our shoes back under us. So, I mean, I would have liked to have seen it. just for a little bit of a difference there. But so yeah, there was that goal we conceded. There was the shot off the post, and then Diaz with an amazing save. Was it like a little side volley bicycle type kick that Diaz got in the face of and ended up putting a block in on?
Yeah, he was good. I mean, I don't know what he could have done with that cross with his defenders totally falling asleep on this one guy. So, I mean, not a clean sheet, but still a good performance, I'd say.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was happy with it. He's doing fine. One goal conceded in four games. That's not too shabby. And arguably that goal, it was everyone's fault. Stuff happens like that. But this kind of goes to show we're still a first half team. We're still really strong in that first half. And our organization was amazing. It was beautiful. It looked impenetrable, and it was. And then the second half, we come out and our banks of four go away. Our organization is just gone. People are marking on top of each other. Lines aren't being held up, as you spoke to. I noticed it, but I'm so happy you said that, because I wouldn't have noticed that on the broadcast. The organization just goes away in the second half for some reason. And I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great point. Anything else you want to touch on in this game? Or we can just jump into talking a little bit about what lineups we'd like to see going forward to these next two games, which are both against Portland.
Nothing crazy except Sam and Roro in the after Sam came on were just linking up really well, really great link ups there. When Sam Warner came on, that's when we started seeing that right side be more active. Now yep. Let's build through the right. But so yeah, that's the only other note I had. We should probably talk about our top three, or are we going to save that for the very end?
Well, yeah, I'll just say that I wanted to I completely agree with what you said about Sam, and I think that's the only change that I would make to this team going forward. I think that this lineup was fantastic, and the only change I'd make if Werner was in there for Belmar to start, that's pretty much exactly what I want this team to look like.
Yeah. I agree. I don't see any other differences there. Belmar would probably look better coming off the bench, just fresh leg kind of deal. Put him on the left, put him on the right, wherever you need him. But yeah, I definitely think put Sam in that number, out on the wing, and that's the only change I'd make too.
Yeah, yeah, and you got Belmar and Villarreal as these super pacey subs that could really come in and try to make this a second half team as well. Yeah, I think their pace and their energy could be great as subs. So yeah, I think like if you get Skundrich and Roro as your holding midfielders, Bijev at the 10, and then Owasa as your 9, and then Formella and Werner on the wings. I feel like that's just there's so much room to link up in any different combination there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's gonna happen with this next game we have coming up. I wonder if Belmar's still gonna get a start with this second game. I think we're gonna see some changes. I think we're gonna see a lot more changes.
Yeah, we could even see some more kids start. I've heard a lot of positive things about Juju Chavez.
Yeah.
I've heard, Yaregi has been getting a lot of like late subs, but
yeah,
he could get a chance against the Timbers team that is like thoroughly the worst team in the group. Yeah. I mean,
Mario Penegos.
Good point. He's the other young guy, him and the goalkeeper, Ramos. But, yeah, Penagos, he started the first game and has not even played a minute since. So
I haven't seen him on the sub list either.
I heard he was on the sub list a couple times, but, yeah, he has not gotten a look on the pitch. So I would like to see him as well. It's tough because with the depth at midfield right now, yeah, it's hard to get Penagos in there. But one of these games against the Timbers, yeah, maybe this Saturday, maybe this home game against the Timbers would be a good time to do it. But
the only thing I would say against doing it this upcoming game, I would almost rather do it the week after in Portland, just because like we haven't solidified our starting 11 yet. So if you're like, we just did our best result. Do we want to change it right away, or do we want to see if, is this the one? You know, you see what I'm saying?
I agree. And I would just make that swap Werner for Belmar, and I would just run it back.
Yeah, totally.
Let's do our top three.
Yeah, I think we're going to agree, man. What's your top three? Who do you have in your three spot? Because I'm sure we're going to have the same.
Why don't you start us off? Because I just didn't write this out. I didn't take any notes at the game because I was just watching, and I don't have the luxury of being able to rewind some things or pause something so I can write something down. So I think I got some good guys in mind, but why don't you start us off?
Okay. I'm almost like wanting to just tell you what my three are and then feel like we're probably gonna have an argument about where to place them, because I think we'll have the same. Are you kind of into that idea or no?
Yeah. Let's go for it.
Okay. So I have Owosa, Fermela, and Roro in my top three. I won't tell you where I placed them until we can have a little bit of a discussion.
Okay. I think that you're higher on Roro's performance than I was. He obviously was, you know, a key to the win. He was like one of the central pieces to like that, the most beautiful play I've seen the Republic make in a long time. But he does that all the time, man. Like, he puts those balls in all the time. I don't know that this was a great game from him. I don't know that it was like an incredible game from him relative to what he normally can do. So I kind of like want to give a little love to somebody else. Fermela and Iwasa will definitely be in my three. I'm going to go Bijev as my third guy, just for laying it off there to Cam. I'm going to go Bijev three, just give him the nod. Cause I think since he's been in that 10, I think it's really bringing the team together.
I like that. I made a top five list for the first half and then wanted to see how people did in the second half. And it just didn't change for me. My opinions at all. I had Bijev in number four, and if he had like gone and scored or done something crazy, he would have made the list for sure. But I had Iwasa in the three, 50th goal, 100th start for the Sacramento Republic, hometown kid, super fun to watch, just really, really great performance. It's his off the ball stuff is just as impressive as the on the ball stuff. And I think off the ball is kind of what sealed it for me today. But yeah, you brought up a lot of great points about his little dinks running through and going ahead and challenging that keeper. It was really fun. I would have one little note. I would have liked to see a little more shots on goal. His only shot on goal was his goal.
That's a great point. I was flirting with putting Owosa number one until I heard that. I just think he is such a problem for opposing teams. Like, he is such a problem. It was the off-ball stuff and then, like, the on-ball touches where you just think, okay, well, this is not a problem. This is not a chance. Yes, he touched the ball, but this is not a dangerous touch. And then all of a sudden it is, because he is running down your throat and he just beat your last defender. And, like, yeah, he did send a few off-target, But if those were on target, I mean, he's just such a menace. And also just to think of like value above replacement, he's the best player on this team with Roro in terms of value on over replacement. Because if you take Owosa out of this lineup, as good as Formello was on the wing today, I just think it's such a massive drop off to Formella at striker or even Belmar at striker. It's crucial. It's crucial.
Yeah. Totally agree. My number two is Formella, and that's just, you know, two goals. His defending is kind of what made him stick out to me the most. Let me not say that, because his goals is what stuck out to me. But he just looked way more lively. He looked willing to go and get stuck in the midfield line, really help, really communicate. He played really good with Apollon. Like, him and Apollon were linking up really well. Super stoked off that that partnership. Great inside cuts from him. Just a great performance overall. Two goals. I want to see him score more, man. Like, I just – he's got it. And he – like, we always refer to it. He's got that fire. I don't know if he has beef with this goalkeeper or what, but he will let you know when he scored on you.
Yeah, he's – you know, you've talked about him, his hold-up play before, and I didn't really see it until you started talking about it. He's really good with his back to goal. He really can hold the ball up and control it and keep possession and then wait for a runner and send it over to them. But it kind of fails when he's at the nine, because when he's at the nine, there's not a lot of guys for him to lay it off to. Maybe, you know, in that one game where Cam played the 10, it was a little bit different, but it's just, he needs, if you're going to have him up top in the middle, then you need to have like a lot of options around him. And I don't know that the Republic really have that around him. But if you put him on the left wing, then you have Ash ranging up. You have Skundrich or Roro coming up, and he can drop the ball back to them, or he can just send it across over to Owosa or to Belmar or Werner on the right. I really like it, and yeah, those cuts in, like those aggressive, kind of, just he'll cut in once and then just take the strike, and it looked really good.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was looking at his. They're on the USL website. You can do something. It's a feature called the clipboard, and you can look at like all kinds of different actions from individual players. And I was looking at successful passes or just even attempted passes from Formella, and he has like seven to 14. He has a lot of passes actually coming back, like, back down towards the defense, probably laying it off to Apollon, which I remember him, he would lay it off to Apollon and then make that cut in where Apollon could either run into the space that's created from the defender following him or play the 1-2, all kinds of options. Great position for him. Want to see it more. My number one is Roro. Just, I don't think this game would have gone down the way it did without Roro's distribution, playing more of a pivot. I don't know if you noticed that.
He definitely did, especially in the second half.
Yeah, no, getting in between those center backs, having the ball served to his feet, turning, looking for good options, just awesome, awesome distribution. Doing the same up towards the top a little bit. I was looking at his heat map, and he was playing more at the bottom of the center circle, which is totally fine because his distribution from there is amazing. Like I said, I just don't think this game would have gone down the way it did without him. His distribution just – it's irreplaceable. It was awesome. I actually put out a tweet. I don't know if you saw it, but I just gave my opinion thinking, you know, saying that I think he's the man of the match in my opinion, for this win. And he tweeted, he quote tweeted me and said, thank you. And just super awesome. That's one thing I love about covering this team is everyone is just, all the players are so thankful for the praise that they get, from media, from fans, and they're so accessible. It was awesome. Awesome couple hours last night for sure.
Yeah, and you're right. I'm not giving him the credit he deserves because he's always so good, I think. But in terms of going back to that concept of replacement level, like there's just nobody on this team that can do what he does. Like there are probably few people in the league that can do what he does. His creativity, his engineering, it's just remarkable. I mean, you know, I like Villarreal. I like Skundrich. I like Willer Aminu. They have nothing on Roro's creativity and ability to ping balls around the pitch.
Yeah, it's friggin' awesome. I love it. I don't have anything else to add, man. Do you?
No, that's it, man. Let's wrap it up. We got two games coming up against Portland. The nearest one is Saturday night. So looking forward to it.
Awesome. And as always, listeners, thank you very much for tuning in. And we will hear from you guys. You'll hear from us on Saturday or Sunday morning.
If you don't mind, listeners, I'm just going to ask real quick, if you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe and rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It does a whole lot for us. You'd be surprised how much it helps. It takes about 30 seconds. And also tweet at us at Rise Republic Pod. We would love to interact with you and get, you know, the conversation going about this team. We want to get more involved with the community. So thank you guys all very much.
Peace.